Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, I don't know about you, but I love the shop. I absolutely love the shop. But I don't know that I'm as efficient at shopping and or as creative at shopping as my guest today, who wears the crown well for the bargain junkie of the world. Her name is Annie Corzin. She's in New York, and she said, you can live the good life on the cheap. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm actually in Los Angeles, but I spend a lot of time in New York. My heart is in New York, but I live in L.A.
Oh, I know. I know. Your heart is in New York, and I guess that's why I thought New York first. Because
You're absolutely right. I'm a tried-and-true New Yorker.
Absolutely true. But L.A. is pretty cool. L.A. is like New York anymore. It's got so much going on. But
it's getting better, it is.
Yes. But I want my audience to know, Annie, about you. Annie is a comedy writer and a performer. And she has had all kinds of publications in the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, and so many more. She just has a real good sense of humor about life. She's been on Oprah, she's been on a number of shows, and she said that she had her own solo shows, Yenta, Unplugged, and Keep Your Mouth Shut, on three different continents. We'll let your wild and woolly imaginations take those titles for a ride. And she's been on a lecture circuit, but her passion is shopping. Now, you can't go wrong with that kind of passion, but if you don't have a multimillionaire's budget, you got to think of different creative ways. Annie, where do you think this loving of shopping and this creative bargain hunting style that you've got? Your book is just a delight, Bargain Junkie. I absolutely loved it. And the photo of you on the front in this green to blue multi-hued sweater and a glass of champagne in your hand, and you've got all these little odds and ends, pieces of junk that are all
right
around you, but they're gold to you. What
right
made you
they're valuable
started in this?
They're valuable junk. Well, the thing is, you know, Donna, I was brought up poor. And so my mother actually reused tea bags. So I was brought up with a respect for saving a dollar. But I kind of didn't want to live my parents' life. I wanted the good things in life. I wanted nice clothes and a nice home and European travel and good restaurants. And I've actually managed to acquire all of those things without spending money. And a lot of it has been out of necessity. My husband and I are both in showbiz, which means that we are often unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really had to learn how to do things without breaking the bank. So when the economy tanked, suddenly all these people who've been used to just getting whatever they wanted whenever they felt like it, suddenly they were coming to me and saying, how do you get a deal on this and how do you get a deal on that? So I thought, well, I'll write a book and tell them.
Right. Now, any woman that makes the comment, if God had wanted people to cook, she wouldn't have invented restaurants, is a good soul. Now, I tell you, I love to cook. I really do. I just love
good
cooking
for you
when I have the time.
It's the time that's the problem.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody that has an attitude like that, you can't go wrong. Now, in your book, and this is right at the very front of the book, you say things you'll never hear you say. One, mm-hmm, I have to have it no matter what it costs. Two, I couldn't possibly wear that. It's last year's style. Three, you can get what you pay for. Four, he who dies with the most toys wins. Five, I can't wait for the big game. What time is it on? You said the last one has nothing to do with thrifty living. It's just something you'll never hear you say, which I would agree.
Right.
You know, it is really fascinating when we think about cycles in history, and there have been times in history like a major depression, and it went on for years, and,
right.
you know, you talk to those people that survived those times, and there's still a number of them around, and they never forget it.
That's
and
right.
Being in show business, being in situations, and I can totally empathize with this, because I have had times in my life where I was lucky if I had a quarter a day to spend for food.
Wow.
And so when you go through things like that, you don't forget them.
Yeah, it makes you respect being frugal. It makes you respect being thrifty. And the thing is, Donna, I consider myself a frugal person, but I don't consider myself cheap. Cheap is something else.
Cheap
is nasty. Like cheap is a rich person who's a lousy tipper. That's ugly. I don't do that. You know?
Okay.
I had a girlfriend who went out on a blind date for brunch with a guy, and they looked at the menu, and he said, why don't we just split an order of toast? Well, I call that cheap. If I were her, I would have said, you have the toast, I'll just split. You know, there are times where you have to show, you have to be a little expansive and show a little class. But I think we're coming out of an era of extreme selfishness, extreme materialism, extreme consumerism, and I think people have to maybe think about reevaluating their priorities.
I agree. Let's talk about the difference between frumpy and dowdy. You've got this in your book, and I just loved it. You have a story about Barbara Bush, et cetera. You've got to share it with
me. Well,
audience.
It's just that I think we've all noticed that a lot of very, very wealthy, privileged women are frumpy. You like Barbara Bush and Margaret Thatcher and Queen Elizabeth, and I used to be, well, I don't want to mention names, but and that's a kind of a sign. In some places, it's an attitude of the very wealthy. That one very wealthy woman once said to me, being fashionable shows lack of character. So in other words, it's a deliberate frumpiness. Those of us who were not born into great wealth, we still want to look nice. We still want to look fashionable and attractive. You know, we're not rich enough to be snobby about fashion. But I think some people take fashion to an extent that is perhaps exaggerated. I don't need a $5,000 handbag to give me a sense of self-confidence and to make me feel happy. That's not what feeds me emotionally.
Right. And there's ways of shopping. See, this is the difference, I think. When you know your style, when you know who you are, and
exactly, like
you say in your book, if you're willing to wade through disorganized piles of worthless crap, which
right,
you are.
Right.
I just love that description. If you're willing to do it, you will find something, but it takes patience. It really
it does.
Does.
It takes patience, it takes time. I have the time because, as I say, I'm frequently unemployed. So, and also I enjoy the pleasure of the chase. So I really haunt thrift shops and yard sales and estate sales, and I can take the time and look through and find that one treasure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was just at a sale this week, and it was really kind of a dirty old garage, and this lady was just emptying out, and she says, oh, you might want this. I got a box of old sweaters in here. They're 50 cents each. And I went to the box, and they were all St. John knits in perfect condition.
Oh, my God. Goodness,
yeah,
do you know how much
knits.
Those go for? My word.
Yeah, and they were like 50 cents each. I bought the whole box, and I myself don't wear St. John, but I'm going to put them up on eBay. I'm going to make money on them. Because a lot of my shopping I use for income, you see. So for me, when I go out and I'm having fun shopping, I'm also making money. So it's a win-win situation. You know, I'll find something nice for myself or a nice gift for a friend, or I'll find something that I can sell.
Incredible. I'll tell you, for those of you listening, if you've never been to Nordstrom's and gone into the section that has St. John's, if you want to be blown away with a price tag, a simple jacket will be as much as $2,500. I am talking about, and that's just a little jacket
that's
that maybe has a single zipper up front. But this is high quality knits. And
that's right.
They're just amazing. So what you did, holy Moses, what a score you made.
Isn't that something?
The thing is,
I have to say, these were not the very latest. These were not, you know, these are probably, I don't know what, maybe 10 years old. But people who collect those labels, they'll buy them no matter what year they're from. Because people, there are a lot of people out there who collect certain labels,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, Donna, I'm not just about shopping is a great part of what I'm about, but I'm really a proponent of a frugal lifestyle. I apply to everything I do, whether it's restaurants, whether it's traveling. I want to live a good life. I want to live a good, comfortable, and attractive life, but I don't have the money to just kind of buy or get or do whatever I want without thinking about it. And now, suddenly, a lot of other people are in my position, and they don't have my experience in living this way, so I think I can help them.
And what I think is important, when we're talking about being frugal and thoughtful, and like you said, you have the time to go and do a lot of this shopping
mm-hmm.
around and
mm-hmm.
just investigating. I know you get your girlfriend together, and you just get in your car, and you've got a certain amount of money, and you just go out and see what you can find, and you never know. Some days
That's
you
right.
might come back with nothing. Other days you might come back with your whole car loaded to the top of its ceiling inside. So
mm-hmm.
the key is there's nothing wrong with this. And I have encountered people that will say, oh, this is terrible. I mean, this is limited thinking. This is awful.
I know. There are people, and you know something? You can't do anything to convince them. There are people who are appalled at the idea of wearing something used. There are people who are appalled at the idea of buying a used piece of furniture. Of course, they're forgetting that if you have valuable antiques, antiques are all used furniture. That's what they are. You know, that's another word. But, I mean, you know, there's not, but you know something? I'm glad those people exist, Donna, because they're the ones who are going to go out and pay top dollar, and they get tired of a year later and put it out in a yard sale, and I can pick it up. So I want those people around.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's talk about some of the areas you go to. One is like local churches, local schools, or charities, the rummage sales.
I love rummage sales.
And they are marvelous.
They are marvelous. They're mm-hmm. fast. They're cheap. The people are usually nice to deal with, and you're supporting some kind of a cause, hopefully, that you believe in. And they're just a lot of fun. They're kind of my favorites.
Yes. And then thrift shops. And I'll share a tip, and I know you're familiar with this. If you are a person that likes to check out thrift shops, go into those thrift shops that are in the really wealthy neighborhoods or located thereabouts,
uh-huh.
and you will find dresses, you'll find furnishings,
mm-hmm.
you will find things that are of wonderful quality.
Right.
I know of a thrift store up here in the Pacific Northwest
mm-hmm.
that's in Bellevue, Washington, and the word went out, if you want to buy a mink coat, go there, because
wow.
they put on a sale once a year, and they are just so inexpensive, it's just unbelievable.
Right.
And I said, ooh, that's a good idea. Now, I don't need one, but these are things, word of mouth will just pass it around.
Absolutely. And you know, Donna, you're very right about considering neighborhoods. I have a girlfriend in New York. She's an artist. She has a nice home in Greenwich Village. When you go into her house, it is furnished completely with fantastic antiques and lamps and works of art and beautiful old furniture. And she got it all by calling the Department of Sanitation and saying, when do you do bulk pickups on the Upper East Side? And they said Fridays. Well, every Thursday night, she and her husband would get into their van. They would drive to Fifth Avenue, Park Avenue, Madison Avenue, and they would take furniture that was sitting out in the street that wealthy people were just throwing out. And that's how she furnished her house, for no money. Of course, what astonishes me is that these people are throwing out their furniture. Why aren't they donating it someplace where it could do some good? You know, I'm still
mm-hmm.
appalled. Since I've said myself, I'm so allergic to wastefulness. I don't understand how you can just throw out good things into the garbage. Do you?
I agree. And that's one of the reasons why people do like to donate many times to something like Goodwill, the Salvation
yeah, exactly.
Army, you know, all of these different places because they feel like maybe somebody can use it. And
Absolutely. There's
the old saying, one person's junk is another person's gold.
Oh, but that's absolutely true. Do you know, my husband is Danish, so I spent a lot of time in Copenhagen, and my sister-in-law one day said, today's garbage day, do you want to come to the dump with us? And I said, the dump? Why would I want to go to the dump? She said, wait and see, I've got a surprise for you. Well, we go to this collections place in a nice, clean, wooded area, and in the middle of the dump, there is a building where people put things that they don't want anymore but that are too good to throw away. And you can just go in there and take whatever you want. And on the cover of my book, I don't know if you noticed it, there's a large orange ceramic teapot. It's Danish. It's mid-century. It's probably worth $125 in an antique store.
Mm-hmm.
I walked away from the dump with that teapot. Now, why doesn't every church and school, why doesn't every block do this? Once a month, people should just bring things they don't want and take other people's, you know, unwanted stuff. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
I think it's marvelous because so many times people, and this is known in the antique business, this is what antique dealers look for.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that go into phases of their life where maybe they are sizing down and
right.
maybe their spouse has died. Maybe they don't want the things that they have anymore.
Right, or they change their style. They're going from Victorian
right.
to modern or whatever. Right.
So they need to have a way of moving it on. And if they don't have children and if their children don't want it, then what can they do? If they have someone maybe that'll buy it from them, that's great. But lots of times, it's just given away or maybe even thrown away.
Well,
I came across a piece of brilliant cut crystal, which anybody that has ever priced any of that is so rare, and usually it's owned privately. You don't
mm-hmm.
find it out very often. And I got a piece for $9. And
wow.
I was astonished.
Yeah.
I was astonished. And these are things that you can shop around, watching for sales. Now, you mentioned something in your book about rag houses. I thought this
yes.
is something new. What is this?
I don't know if they exist all over. I know they have them in L.A. These are places for vintage clothing where they simply sell them by the pound. And mostly they supply stores, like vintage clothing stores get their stuff there. And so the place I go to in L.A., she sells this stuff. She'll have certain sales, you know, certain days of the month, like maybe one Saturday a month. Everything in the store will be $4 a pound. So I learned very quickly not to buy coats, you know, to stick to lightweight things. But I went there once and I got like 10 Hawaiian shirts for a couple of bucks. And when we next went to Denmark, we took a family photograph of the whole family dressed in these colorful Hawaiian shirts in the middle of cold Denmark. It was a lot of fun. But they exist all over. They're also sampled. They're also, a lot of manufacturers have sample sales. By the way, Donna, all of these things are on the internet. You know,
mm-hmm.
the internet is such a valuable tool for a frugalista like myself. I use eBay. I use Craigslist. Did you know that Craigslist has a listing for free things?
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes, that's how a friend of mine
does. All kinds yeah. of stuff.
Sports equipment, everything.
Absolutely.
All kinds of stuff.
Building supplies. I just mulched my entire, you know, I'm in L.A. where we don't have a lot of water. And part of being frugal is also being green. I don't like to waste water. I got 23 bags of mulch for my garden, which allowed me to eliminate one weekly hosing a week. In other,
wow.
you know, because the mulch holds in the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus it looks a lot nicer. The plants are much happier and it looks much nicer to have this pine bark mulch in between the plants than just the bare soil that I had before that was not very attractive. So there's all kinds of free things online. And I use eBay. I use a lot of these sites. I use restaurant.com when I go out. I buy restaurant vouchers on restaurant.com. Also, by the way, when I go to a restaurant, I call in advance and I ask what their corkage fee is. The corkage fee is what the restaurant charges if you want to bring your own wine. Now, sometimes if it's a really good restaurant, it might be a lot. It might be 25 or 30 bucks, then it doesn't pay. But a lot of restaurants will say, oh, we'll charge you 10 or maybe it's $15 per bottle. Now, I can go to Trader Joe's and get a good bottle of wine, or good enough for me, for $8. Mm-hmm. And then I go and pay an extra $10 or $15 at the restaurant. If I would order that bottle of wine from their wine list, it would be $50.
Right.
See?
Now, that's good to know. I don't know how many of my listeners are aware of that. But that cork fee, that is something.
Corkage. C-O-R-K-A-G-E. It's the corkage fee.
A corkage fee. When you think about that, I recall someone that said to me once, I said, why don't we bring our own bottle of wine? And they said, that is just absolutely, you just don't do that.
I find that so annoying. I think really people have to kind of get a little more inventive and a little not so stuck in rigid rules and formulas, you know. But, you know, Donna, you're bringing out something. To live the way I live and the way you live or aspire to, you have to kind of be a rule breaker. It's not, what I'm doing is not for somebody who's very uptight and very conventional. It's just not going to work for them. You know, you have to be willing to use a little imagination. There is no shame in, there is a caveat here. I wouldn't go to a nice restaurant and bring a really cheap bottle of wine. You know, if I'm at home, I'm happy to drink Trader Joe's $2 Chuck. It's good enough for me for at home. It's our house wine. I like it. I wouldn't bring a bottle of $2 Chuck to a restaurant. There I would be embarrassed. But as I'm saying, at Trader Joe's for $8, you can get quite a nice bottle of wine.
You have so many good sections in your book. You talk about interior design. You mentioned your friend earlier. She was able to acquire and furnish her whole entire apartment in Greenwich Village. You go into how you can find out about floor coverings if you need to have flooring put in. You don't have to pay top dollar, but you have to be willing to shop around.
Yes, and maybe compromise. You know, I'm not, how shall I say? My standards, I'm willing to compromise on a lot of things. And then, because that's why the name of the book is Bargain Junkie. I like bargains and I'm willing to compromise. On the other hand, there are times when I will splurge if it's something that feeds me emotionally. When I'm in New York, I want to go to the theater. And if they don't have tickets at the half price booth for the show that I'm dying to see, I will spend full price. Because it's a limited opportunity. I'm only in New York for a couple of weeks, and theater means a lot to me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But other things, as I say, I don't need a $4,000 bag. I'm perfectly happy with my sports sack that I got on eBay for $12.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to know where you're willing to compromise and where you just can't.
You go in to the book issue, and you also go into traveling in Europe and various ways that things can be done there. Your husband is an avid book collector.
Yes.
And you say you have about 10,000 volumes.
Because it's become a business. My husband is actually a film producer. As a matter of fact, he won an Oscar years ago for what I think is one of the greatest movies ever, called Babette's Feast, a Danish movie called Babette's Feast. But and then he didn't get another movie for many years. He had no income. So one day he followed me into a thrift shop. He picked up 4 books, and just out of curiosity, you know, he paid 50 cents each. Out of curiosity, he looked them up on the Internet, and it turned out he was able to sell those books for $400.
Wow.
So that began his addiction. So he comes around with me to all these sales I go to. He finds books, and he has now a home business selling rare books on the Internet, and he loves it. He has contact with people from all over the world. He loves dealing with other book lovers. The only problem for me is I have no room in my house, you know.
Now, you said you had to put your candlesticks in your sock drawer.
That's right. I have no shelf or wall space. But again, it's a way of bringing in income while he's waiting for film projects to happen. So you see, we've just created all these things for ourselves because we've never had a real job. We've never been able to count on the security of a 9-to-5 job. Now, as it turns out, a lot of people are finding out that that security was a myth to begin with. There's no such thing as security, so we all have to be prepared to be inventive and do what we can to save money and make money.
You have a tip in here on vacations. And again, all of these various aspects. I mean, this is a woman that has absolutely, I just love what she's got in here. She has a paragraph in her book about a gift from Walt. And I thought this was so cool because I didn't know about it. If you like Epcot, if you like Disney World or Disneyland, and you wonder how you can save some money because the tickets are quite expensive.
They're exorbitant, yeah.
If you want to go in on your birthday, if you register online in advance at Disneyland.com, you will get in free.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I never knew that even existed.
I think a lot of places have these things that they don't really advertise. They don't want you to know about. You know, they kind of keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that practically every museum has a free night.
Right.
And every good restaurant has, usually on a slow night, they'll have like a lower price prefix menu or something. You know, I mean, these deals are out there, but you kind of have to know about them. I've spent my life looking for them. So,
and I think it's fabulous because it's all in your book, Bargain Junkie. Now, you addressed tuition. In today's world, a college education costs almost as much as a down payment for a house,
mm-hmm.
if not then some.
Mm-hmm.
And if a kid's going to be going in for, you know, a young person, an adult, I mean, it is absolutely, in my view, outrageous, the expense level for education. And it's going up. It's not going down.
Right.
So you talk in here about the way that people can have the opportunity to educate their kids. Now, we know about scholarships, and sometimes there can be grants. But
and
what else would you recommend?
Program. Well, I think I don't have the book in front of me, but there are. First of all, I spoke to the president of my old college, and he said, I know it sounds a little facetious, but he said the best way to get a free education is to be an A student. He said colleges are having trouble finding really talented and gifted kids, that they are not getting the kind of highly accomplished students that they're looking for. So that if your kid is an A student, he will get help.
Great.
Also, I didn't know that somebody told me you can negotiate. If a college offers your kid a certain amount and another college offers them less, I didn't know that you can say to the second school, oh, but, you know, Princeton offered us this much, and they will often up their offer to match the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was interesting to discover was there are a lot of very obscure scholarships that people don't know about and that go unused.
Yes.
And the best way to find them is on the Internet. Somebody once told me, I don't know if it's still true, but that at one point in Vegas, if you went to the University of Las Vegas and majored in hotel services, you would get a free education because they want people who are professional in that area. There are all kinds of scholarships for vets. There are scholarships for vets of certain battalions, of certain platoons. It's just doing research. There are scholarships for children of people whose parents or grandparents were immigrants from certain villages or from certain foreign countries.
Well, this goes on and on and on. And Annie, I know we're out of time here. It's just a delight chatting with you. Your book, Bargain Junkie. If you have a friend that's going through hard times, if you're going through hard times, go out and get this book because you're going to get your money back and then some over the long term. Now, she's got a website, Annie Corzine does, thebargainjunkie.com. So go into her website. All of you are savvy. Go to thebargainjunkie.com and check it out. Annie, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you so much for sharing your wonderful tips and then some. It's been wonderful having you.
You are a wonderful interviewer, and I appreciate how thorough you were in your homework. Not everybody does that.
Well, thank you so much. Much success to you, and I know you'll be laughing and happy, just a smile on your face with every dollar that you save.
That's right. Thank
Penny
you.
Penny nickels and dimes and quarters included. Have a wonderful life. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, check out thebargainjunkie.com. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
And welcome to an hour of Mind Power again. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm going to be sharing a mystical story with you. Also, I want to tell you about a bread recipe that I made today, and it is marvelous. So get your pad of paper and your pen handy, because this is a bread that I guarantee you that is so easy to make. It is going to be such a roaring success. The flavors are absolutely marvelous. As I said, I just baked a loaf of this morning. It is fabuloso. So get that pad of paper because I'm going to share it with you. But I also want to let you know telephone lines are now open. That's right. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here is the toll-free number to call in to, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted you've been able to join us, as well as the rest of you. And all I need from you is your first name or your initials. And after that, let me tell you what I see for you, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Oh, also, I like to know what part of the country or the world you're calling in from. And also, too, let me mention, I'm going to be doing an appearance Saturday, November the 21st, at the Dickens Festival in Tacoma, Washington, downtown Tacoma, Washington. This is the 5th event the fifth annual event, and it is marvelous. It's perfect for the family. The weather is cold, and we might even get some snow. You never know. And it's just magical. People are in costume, and it is just a blast. I'm going to be appearing at the King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. And what I'm going to be doing there are many consultations. No appointment is necessary. And I'll be there from 11 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. So bring your friends over, and part of the proceeds that will be collected from doing the mini readings will be donated to the charity that the event is helping to fund this year. So if you want more information, go to my website, check out my newsletter for the month of November, and you'll find out all the details there. And you can also go to DickensFestival.net. My website is DelphiInternational.com. DickensFestival.net is the other site you can go to, and you'll have the information right at your fingertips, giving you all of the fine details. So again, Saturday, November the 21st, I will be there. Okay, I told you I had a mystical story to share. I do. This is about a very special book. And on December 11, 1967, Dr. Lawrence Lushan, who is very well known for his many publications and for his writings on powers of the mind, his background is that of a psychologist, and for most of his life, meditation and mysticism have been a very significant part of his experience. On this particular day of December the 11th, he had lunch with a Dr. Nina Ridenour. He was going to discuss the manuscript of a book that he was in the process of writing on his favorite topics. Now, Ridenour's response was that his work reflected a less than perfect knowledge of mysticism. Now, she recommended some books by various authors, including an author by the name of Walter Stace. Now, Walter Stace proposed that mysticism is an experience beyond the laws of logic. Now, Maurice Nicole, who had studied an esoteric meaning of the New Testament and other items, suggested everything that one needed to become complete is found within oneself. And P.D. Ouspensky, whose books inspired by his years with Gurdjieff, asserted that man is asleep to himself. You know the old adage, know thyself? That is what was being pretty much stated here. Now, Ms. Ridenour also mentioned L.A. Cranmer Bing's The Vision of Asia. Now, Lashawn remembers writing this information down and remembered her commenting, until you've read this, you won't understand the difference between Eastern and Western mysticism. Now, her words just seem to stay in his mind, and he would hear them over and over again. So he decided, after making the notes at this meeting with her, that this particular book would and should be the primary resource on his list, and this is what he needs to find. He was very grateful to Ms. Ridenour, and he knew that the cultural differences in mysticism were essential to the theme of what he was writing about. So he started to look for the book. He checked libraries of parapsychology, the Parapsychology Foundation, the Union Theological Seminary, everywhere he went. Nobody had ever heard of the book, The Vision of Asia. So he wasn't able to do very much, and at that time you didn't have access to the Internet. Now, there was this particular day. It was rather late, and Lashawn decided, gut instinct. It's one of those, I'm going to do something different days. He decided he was going to walk home by a new, longer route. During this walk, he stopped at an intersection, and he happened to notice that a book was laying on the sidewalk. It was lying next to a garbage can. He was curious about it, and so he walked over to the garbage can, picked up the book, and saw the title. It was The Vision of Asia by L.A. Cranmer Bing. The next morning, he called Miss Ridenour, saying, I have a funny story to tell you about the book you recommended to me at our last meeting. She asked him, what book? He said, The Vision of Asia by Byng. She said, I've never heard of it. And in truth, she never had. Fascinating. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Telephone lines are open, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Okay, we were going to talk about a recipe. This recipe is marvelous, and when the bread is baking, it is going to bring a wonderful fragrance into your kitchen that you will just love, and I guarantee you, you will want to fix this more than once. The flavor is outstanding. This is called Herb Parmesan Bread, and you go to the store, you can buy a loaf of herb-flavored bread, and it may cost you up to $10 a loaf, depending on where you're going. It is not inexpensive. You can fix this at home, and the density, the texture of this, the flavor, it is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So this is what you're going to need. Here are the ingredients, not a lot of ingredients either. You're going to need 2 cups of warm water, and it needs to be 105 to 115 degrees when you go to use it. You need 2 packages of active dry yeast, and if you want fast-rising yeast, you're still going to need 2 packages. 2 tablespoons of sugar, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 tablespoons of sugar, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 tablespoons of butter, or I used olive oil, so whichever you prefer. 1/2 cup plus 1 tablespoon of grated Parmesan cheese. And I use the coarser grade, which is like stringy, the strings of the Parmesan. That's what I like. And 1 1/2 tablespoons of dried oregano leaves, and 4 1/4 cups sifted all-purpose flour. Now, you need to sift the flour before you measure it. That you can do in a minute. So those are the ingredients. Now, this is what you do. This is so easy. You want to make sure your water, again, is at 105 to 115 degrees. You want to put it into a large mixing bowl that you're going to use with your mixer. And you want to put your yeast in the water, and you want to add your sugar into the water. And you stir it so that the yeast is blended with the water. You don't want lumps of the yeast there, so you want to stir it quickly. Really easy to whisk it into place. Then, once you do that, and you leave it alone for a little bit of time, just maybe a couple of minutes, you're going to see the yeast starting to bubble. It starts getting real, real thick. Now, when that's happening, the sugar causes the yeast to become very active. You then add your salt, your butter, the half a cup of the Parmesan cheese, shredded or can be the finely ground, whatever you prefer, the oregano, and you need 3 cups of the flour. You add that to your yeast water mixture, and you beat it with your electric mixer at low speed until it's thoroughly blended. Then you want to increase the speed to medium, and you want to beat this dough, and it's going to be very, very soft. You want to beat it for 2 minutes at medium speed until it's nice and smooth. Then you scrape down the side of the bowl and the beaters. You want to get all of the dough off the beaters. Then you add the remaining batch of flour. That's going to be 1¼ cups of your remaining flour. You add it to that batter, and you use like a wooden spoon or a sturdy plastic spoon, and you beat in the remaining flour by hand. And it just takes a minute or two. This dough isn't stiff. It's very soft. Then what you do, that bowl, that same bowl that you've mixed everything in, you cover the top of the bowl with a piece of wax paper, and then you take a towel, and you take like a dish towel, moisten it with water, not soggy, but just slightly damp, and put it on top of that piece of wax paper. Put the dough in a place where it's going to be warm. If you don't have a real warm spot now that it's getting colder, put it inside your oven with the light on. and leave it there. Set your timer. Leave it there for about 45 to 50 minutes. Go get busy doing something else. The bread's going to do its own work. At the end of that 45 to 50 minutes, you're going to find that this dough is filling the bowl. It's going to come all the way to the top. Now, what you want to do, you then want to make sure that you've preheated your oven so that your oven is about 375 degrees. You're going to need a 2-quart casserole dish, and I have a round one. You know, it's a rounded one. It's really nice, but you want it so that it holds 2 quarts. And you lightly grease it, spray it with a nonstick cooking spray. And then taking the wooden spoon, you beat your batter down, and you break all the gas bubbles up. Beat it down. Just a little bit of time. And you do that for about 30 seconds, about 25 strokes. Pour the batter then into the prepared casserole. Sprinkle the top with a tablespoon of Parmesan cheese. I added extra Parmesan on the top. Put it inside your preheated oven. Let it bake for 55 minutes. You'll find that it's going to totally brown entirely. It'll rise magnificently. At the end of 55 minutes, you're going to have this beautiful dark brown loaf. You take it out of your oven, flip it onto a wire rack, and let it cool. And then you cut it into wedges, and you let it sit for maybe about a half hour. This bread is out of this world. It is wonderful. You can experiment with using pepper, you can make pepper bread, you could do whatever you want. This is a basic recipe, and the density and texture of this bread is fabulous. That Adana did it just today recipe, and you are going to love it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got some wonderful things to share with you. If you want to chat with me, give me a call at 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. You know, when we were talking with Annie earlier, she was talking about being able to make money. Now, so many of us today in this world have lost jobs. We don't have what may have been available before. Things are in this big flux of change. Well, fortunately, because of the computer, we have access to business opportunities. And I came across some information, various points, and I want to share it with you because who knows, maybe something like this would be right up your alley. One of the things you do have to be leery of are some of these, gee whiz, make $500,000 a month, all you have to do is lick envelopes and blah, blah, blah. Those types of things are not going to work. They're going to have you pay up front, and then you're going to be crying because you're never going to go to the bank with a check in hand. But here are some people. I've got in front of me information on 6 different women and how they were able to make money from home doing what they really love to do. They've generated incomes that go from $20,000 up a year, and you could possibly, if this was something that was along the lines of interest on your part, that you could utilize. Here's some information. Bilingual speakers. If you're fluent in a second language, you can earn about $25,000 a year by providing interpreting services over the phone for businesses that have non-English speaking clients. How do you find out about this? Go to languageline.com. If you're looking for work, you might find it in some very unique environments. So if you're bilingual, you've got an opportunity. So go to languageline.com. Also, companies are paying people $8 to $14 an hour to answer calls from customers who want to make reservations, hear product information, or even buy merchandise. You pick your hours, and the calls will automatically be routed to your home phone. Now, there's a woman, Mariel Ramirez. She's 29 years old. She's a mom. She's in Tampa, Florida. She is making $21,000 a year as an at-home rep. She said, not only do I get to stay home with my kids, but when I moved, I didn't have to worry about finding another job. Now, this is where you can go to find out more information. You can go to Alpine Access, A-L-P-I-N-E, Access, A-C-C-E-S-S.com, or westathome.com. They give you a test to show that you're comfortable with a computer, and they also interview you to make sure that you've got a good voice and that your demeanor is very, very appropriate. Once they hire you, they're going to put you in touch with clients. You're going to need a landline phone. You also have to have a noise-canceling phone headset, and you can get them at office supply stores starting at $9, and a computer with high-speed internet access. Now, how easy could that be? You can have your own hours, and you can be making, like this young lady makes, $21,000 a year. Now, remember Annie was saying she made money online? Because remember she talked about the St. John's? That she found a woman giving them away, literally giving them away, and these are high-end clothes items. So she makes income. Well, there was a survey done not that long ago where the average household has 52 toys, electronics, sports equipment, and other unused stuff worth about $3,100 collecting dust. So you can start off on your own by selling your clutter and then pick up other valuable merchandise for a steal, just like Annie does at garage sales and thrift stores, and sell them for a profit online. I knew of a young lady who was buying maternity outfits. She'd check out thrift stores, wherever she could find something. Rummage sale, she would go around. She had a family, and she found that that was an area she really had a knack for, and so she would sell it online. She was making about $3,000 to $5,000 a month. Now, there's a young lady named Kelly Shaw. She's from Michigan, and she said she and her husband started off by selling stuff from around the house, and last year they sold almost 250, get this, $250,000 worth of merchandise. She said what you need is an eBay account, and the first 5 product listings per month are free, and each additional listing is 10 cents to $4, and eBay takes between 8.75% and 13.75% of the final sale price. If you want to save on fees, sell your items at the growing online auction site eBid. It's us.ebid.net. The listings are free, and the website takes just 3% of the final sales price. And eBay has What's It Worth. This is a tool where you can check things out. Here's an opportunity if you wanted to do it, and I know some other people that do it. So I'll save these other stories here because I know we're running out of time. But I want you to know that there are so many options available. And if you're feeling uncomfortable with some of it, maybe you know somebody that's worked with eBay. All it takes is some time. So if you know of someone who's unemployed, help them out. Share this information with them because it may make a difference in their life. And maybe they'd be happy to sell some information for you if you don't have the time to do it. maybe they'd be happy to sell it for you, and you give them a commission off of everything that they sell. All kinds of ideas, all kinds of opportunities. Remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the other kind of smart, and you'll learn about all of the good details about that. This is so important for you to realize that what seems to be a dark moment in history where things are really tough, turn on your light. Turn on that light of imagination and creativity and get it moving, because you are going to find that you're going to be able to make a difference in your life because of the way you think and the action that follows. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1. Have a fabulous evening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.